We are blessed with a beautiful day, and we're glad that everyone is here with us to worship, study the Word of God, worship God together. But it's good to be here, good to be able to assemble with the saints and worship God. You know, when you're at some point when you're in school, at least I remember, there was a time at which I just couldn't wait for summer, because then you could really start living in summertime. And then, as school went on, I remember counting down the years, 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, 1 year, 2 months, and then life starts, really start living then. And then, once you get your kids and, you know, once they get grown, they get out of the house, that's when life starts. When I can retire, that's when life starts. And then you're retired and you get sick and is it not possible for us to get so focused on the future that we forget to live today? To the opposite extreme, sometimes when you are just maybe out of school and you think back on your years and you think, the best days of my life was when I was in school. That's when I really lived. Or maybe a little bit older and you think, the best time of my life was when my kids were young. That's when I really lived. Or maybe a little bit later, you think, the best time of my life was when kids got out of the house. Or best time of my life is when I retired. And maybe we should be grateful for the past, but is it not possible for us to focus so much on what happened that we forget to live today? Yes, we do need to look for the future. We need to plan for not just the future on this earth, but plan for the future in eternity. Yes, we do need to look back in the past and be grateful for what has happened. And even if there are things in the past that we need to correct, that we need to make those corrections, we need to have forgiveness for those sins. But isn't there a real sense in which we need to live in the present tense? And I believe in the Bible we find an emphasis that God places on living in the present tense. And I'd like to look at a few verses that deal with our spiritual lives. But first, I'd like to look at a couple that deal with our physical lives, our lives here on the earth. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray. And in the midst of that prayer, He has a very short statement, but significant one, when He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus, I think, reflected in His life, and certainly reflects in His prayer, that we should not have a preoccupation with the food for tomorrow. Preoccupation for what's going to come to us tomorrow physically, to the point that we don't take advantage and we don't be thankful for and we don't enjoy the bread that we have today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God promises the necessities of life today. The daily bread today. The real emphasis of our life is on the spiritual things. But is it possible for us to get so worried about providing for ourselves financially, providing for ourselves physically, that we forget to live today? Is it possible for us to we work extra hours, we stress ourselves out in our jobs because we're laying aside for later years, because we want to make sure we have enough food for tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Is it possible for us to forget to live today? Is it possible for us to get so busy that we lose the whole emphasis of what this life is all about? Why not drink in today the blessing that God has given to us? Eat today the food that He's provided for us. Drink in today all of the physical blessings that the Lord has blessed us with. The next time you have your daily bread, say thank you. and enjoy it for what it is. He also says in chapter 6 and verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. When we're here on the earth, we also need to be careful that the troubles of tomorrow, the troubles of yesterday, don't so fill our minds that we don't take care of the problems that we have today. I mean, is it not possible for us to say that this cold weather that we're having, if it continues, we're not going to be able to grow any crops in the spring. If we don't grow any crops in the spring, we're not going to have any food. And if we don't have any food, we're all going to die. I can't enjoy today because we're all going to die. Or I was going to start an exercise program, but you know, sometimes people start exercise programs, they get hurt. And when they get hurt, they get bedfast. And when they get bedfast, they die. I can't start an exercise program today because we're all going to die. I was wanting to go to the Smoky Mountains and see the beauty that's there in the Smoky Mountains, but you know, there are a lot of curvy roads, and sometimes with curvy roads, people fall off the roads and they have an accident and they get put up in the hospital and they die. I can't look to the beauty of these Smoky Mountains because we're all going to die. Jesus says, just take care of the problems today that are there. Don't worry about what's going to happen or you'll miss today. You're misenjoying the beauty that God has provided for us. We need to be prudent, but we also need to live in the present tense. But let's shift the emphasis to the spiritual lives that we have in Christ, because Christ also talks about living for today in the things, in the blessings that He's given to us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 2, where the Apostle Paul quotes from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 2, Paul, quoting from Isaiah 49, says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Here is Isaiah writing 750 or so years before the time of Christ, and he's looking forward to a day. There is a day that is coming that God will hear us. That's the acceptable time. There is a day that is coming that is going to be the day of salvation. And so he must have lived with anticipation, Isaiah, for this time that the Messiah would come. It did not come in his lifetime. And succeeding generations, they must have looked forward to this time of where it is accepted for God to hear, where we have the day of salvation, looking forward, but not really able to really enjoy it in the present tense. But we continue reading here in verse 2, because Paul gives us a divine explanation or a divine interpretation of when this day, this acceptable time, this day of salvation is. He says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, this now was in the first century when the Apostle Paul wrote it, but is it not also in the 21st century? Is not now still now? Is not the day of salvation still today? He's not talking about a 24-hour period of time. He's talking about a time frame where every day is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time when God will hear us. In a sense, it's sort of like marriage. You know, when you stand before the preacher and the preacher says, do you take this man, this woman whose hand you now hold to be your wedded wife, forsaking all others, cleave to her or him alone as long as you both shall live? Do you say, I did? No, you say, I do. Present tense, I do. And today, maybe that day was a year ago. Maybe that day was 20 years ago. Maybe that day was 60 years ago. Is it I did? It's I do. It's present tense. every day of our lives we live in this beautiful relationship of marriage. Because marriage is in the present tense. We must appreciate, yes, it was based upon an action that took place in the past, but it is a daily relationship that we can enjoy, that we have been blessed with by the Lord. Well, the same is true here in reference to salvation. When is the day of salvation? The Apostle Paul says the day of salvation is now. When was the day of your salvation? Well, I was 19 years old when I became a Christian. That was the day of my salvation, right? Well, it was. That was the day when the Lord washed away my sins and I started all over in this beautiful life that I can enjoy and share with God. But every day since that day has been the day of salvation. Today, now, is the day of salvation. Today, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time when God hears me. Go back to the Old Testament, if you would, to a familiar passage, the book of Psalms, 118th Psalm, where the psalm writer talks about, in verse 24, when I was thinking about this lesson, this verse came to me that it had to fit in with this lesson. In verse 24, where it says 118, 24 of Psalms, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Heard that quoted a lot of times, quoted it myself. This is the day, just thinking that today is a day that the Lord has made, and we need to enjoy this day. Well, look at the context here a little bit. Let's back up to verse 22, because this is messianic. The psalm writer is looking forward to the time that the Messiah would come. It says, the stone which the builders rejected, that would be Jesus, has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalm writer is not talking about an ordinary day. He's talking about a day when the Messiah would come. The Messiah would be the chief cornerstone. The Messiah would begin to build the temple, the house of God, upon this foundation stone of Jesus Christ. And this temple would be filled with the priests of God who would offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. That has happened. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, quotes this passage and says this is taking place in the first century when Christians, when disciples have become Christians, and they are these priests, they are these living stones, they are offering up these spiritual sacrifices. It was true in the first century. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But in the 21st century, are we not the living stones? We are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. We are the priests of God, offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day that God has made this marvelous work, this church of the Lord, that we can be a part in it. And what he says for us to do is rejoice and be glad in it. Live in the present tense. We have blessings that people of the Old Testament could only look forward to. We have blessings that we can experience right now, today. Don't get so involved with the past or the future that you miss out on rejoicing today. The marvelous work of God. Today is the day of salvation. Well, another context. Hebrews chapter 3. This word today is used. The Hebrew writer is warning the Jews who have become Christians not to go back to Judaism, not to follow the pattern that you find back in the Old Testament, but to remain faithful to the Lord. And he quotes from the Old Testament, he quotes from the 95th Psalm here in chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 7, when he says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says... It is the Holy Spirit who has written through the psalm writer. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. He's looking back to a time, the psalm writer is writing about 1,000 years before the time of Christ. But he's looking back maybe 400 years earlier than this, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness wandering. And as they wandered through the wilderness, they sinned, and they sinned, and they sinned against God. They sent the 12 spies into the promised land, and the spies came out. 10 of them came out and said, "We cannot take this land. We do not have the power to do so." And the people believed that. The people followed those 10 spies, and God said, and I think this is what this has reference to, "You will not enter my rest, because you have hardened your heart because of repeated rebellion against me." So the psalm writer, about 400 years later, says, today you need to change that pattern. Today you need to do something else. And the Hebrew writer is quoting it for the New Testament listeners, the New Testament readers, that today they needed to make a change. They do not need to follow after the same pattern. Yes, the past does make a difference. If you continue to sin and continue to sin and continue to sin day after day after day after day, you develop a hardened heart. And at some point, God is just going to say, "You're not going to enter my rest. I will not tolerate that in my presence." But the Hebrew writer says, today you can change. You might not be able to change all of the things in the past, but today you can start a new pattern. Today, let's look again at verse 7. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice," today you start a new pattern by listening to the sound of the Lord. Today you start a new pattern by, rather than rebelling against God, you begin to live for God. And as you live for God, as you listen to His voice, as you learn from His teachings, as you use it in your life, as you grow and as you mature and as you obey God, as you trust God in everything that you do, you begin today to build a relationship with God of maturity, a relationship with God where you glorify Him. You become molded by God rather than being this rebellious child that over and over and over again is finally rejected by God. You become a child of God that over and over and over again hears and accepts the Lord and becomes more and more like God. When do you do that? When do you start being that kind of child? The Hebrew writer says, today. It's the only day you've got. You can get forgiveness for tomorrow, but you can't change that. You can't live into the future. Today, he says. Notice in the book of 2 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter, a very familiar passage. We'll come right back here to Hebrews chapter 3 in just a moment. But notice in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Did you notice, at least in the New King James Version, I think in most versions, the word "is," where it says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof." The word is in italics, which means it's not in the original language. It was added there by the translators to make it make sense. Well, did they put the right tense in there? Is it present tense? Or should it be past tense? Should this verse say, "All Scripture is inspired of God and was profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness"? It was. Yeah, it was. Back then, sometime. Old Testament times, yeah, it was. New Testament times, yeah, it was. It was profitable for that. Is the past tense appropriate for that? Well, it certainly includes the past tense. Future tense. All Scripture is inspired of God and will be, at some point in the future, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Well, that's true too. The future, it's going to be. That's really not the point of the passage, is it? The point of the passage is present tense. Do you believe that? All Scripture is inspired of God and is in your life today, right now. Not past, not future, right now. Is it profitable for you? The Hebrew writer says, hear His voice. Listen to what it says. Use it in your life. Grow, trust Him, start a new pattern in your life. The only time that you can do that is right now. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, because the Hebrew writer isn't finished with this word today. We continue in verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But, that's the negative, here's the positive, exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What day is today? Well, it's today. And as long as it's called today, that's the day that you are to encourage, that you are to exhort one another. Chapter 4, we'll pick up the reading in verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, talking about going to the promised land, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains a rest from the people of God. For he has entered his rest, speaking of Jesus, having himself also ceased from his work as God did from his, talking about at the creation. Notice verse 11, present tense. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. He talks about the past, these examples, talks about where we're going, this rest in the future. But he says, what do you do right now? Right now you be diligent. Let us be diligent. That's how we're going to get there. Live in the present tense. A third observation in the book of Ephesians, in the fifth chapter. Ephesians chapter 5. The word today is not in this text, but the idea of living in the present tense, it seems to me, certainly is. In verse 15 and 16 of Ephesians chapter 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, buying back the time, using the most of your time, using every opportunity wisely, filling up your time here on this earth. Sometimes we have an incomplete idea about our time. We think our time is ours. We think our life is our life. Just an illustration of that, how that finds application in culture. On the 22nd of January, it was the 41st anniversary of the decision of the Supreme Court of Roe versus Wade. Since that time, 55 million babies have been aborted. What is one of the arguments that's made, one of the main arguments made of those who are pro-abortionists? They say, it's my body. It's my decision. I have the right to do with my body what I want to do with it, and nobody can tell me, you cannot regulate what I am going to do with my body. Well, set aside for just a moment the baby, who also has a stake in this, but is it really just our body? Is it really just our time? You know, I saw a commentator talking about the abortion thing. It was Brent Hume, and he was talking about how really in 1973, when that decision was made, you didn't have the sonograms like you do today. People were really not that educated on what the development of a baby was in the womb. Since that time, more and more evidence has shown that this is really a person here. And he said, the time is going to come when science is going to prove when the baby begins to feel pain, and that's going to change everything in the abortion debate. Call me a skeptic, but I don't think so. Because I think the fundamental problem with the abortion debate is that people aren't recognizing that this isn't just my body. This isn't just my decision. I live in a world where I have a gift of my body, a gift of my life, a gift of my time, and that giver of that gift is God. We are stewards of the bodies that we have. We are stewards of the time that we have. And God demands that we use it properly. And in fact, notice in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul, a very plain statement of fact that should guard and be in the perspective of every decision that I make today is, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." The fact is, it is not just my life, it's not just my body. My life, my body is the Lord's. He's only let me borrow it for a while. He's only let me inhabit this earthly body on this earth for a short period of time. But there will be a day when he questions me about that. It will be a day when he judges me about how I have used this body on the earth. So back to Ephesians chapter 5 once again, and look at those verses again in the context of, this is not just my existence on the earth, but God has blessed me with this existence on the earth. He says in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." God should be in the perspective of every decision that we make. And sometimes people, as they get a little bit older in life, they come up with what's commonly called now a bucket list. Things that they want to do before they don't have any more time on this earth. Or as one Tim McGraw sang a song, "Live Like You're Dying." Apparently it's a song about someone who talks to a friend who has gotten some bad news, is going to die, some terminal illness of some sort. And he sings about this and he says, "Well, I finally read the good book and took a good hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I loved deeper, I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I'd been denying." And he said, "Someday, I hope you get the chance to live like you're dying." We're all living like we're dying. We're all going to die. That's all in the future at some point. The question is, what are we doing with our life? And there's nothing wrong with getting on a bull named Fu Manchu. There's nothing wrong with skydiving. Nothing wrong with having a bucket list of things that you want to do on this earth and enjoy the beauty that's around us. But don't forget about God. Don't forget about filling your life full of things that the one who owns this time, the one who has given us this life, asks us to fill our lives with. Yes, it's nice to go skydiving, but there are things more important than that in life. Redeem the time, the Apostle Paul says. Buy back the opportunities. Fill it full with things that God would be pleased with. You know, the Apostle Paul, I think, is a great example of this type of mentality. Let's go over there to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. When he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." Actually, he's going to mention a few things, but it's one thing. Because he doesn't do something and doesn't do something, but he does do something. Okay, so here's the something. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Paul didn't live in the past. He had made some mistakes in the past. He had corrected those through the blood of Jesus Christ. He did not focus on the past so that he did not live in the present. He says, and we continue there in verse 13, "And reaching forward to those things that are ahead," the Apostle Paul lived in perspective of eternity. Not just what he could accomplish on this earth, but what he was going to be able to have when he got to his eternal home with Jesus. So not focusing on the past and looking forward to the things that were in the future, the thing that was in the future, what did Paul do right now? Verse 14, "I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Right now, today, I'm living in the present tense, and what that means to me is I don't live in the past, I don't live in the future, I press on. And that word press on is a word that was used to refer to a runner who is stretching to get to the finish line. It's a word that refers to a great deal of effort and strain. How do you keep up that effort? How do you keep up that strain day after day after day after day? Well, don't think about the day after day after day after day. You just think about today. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. Right now, I am pressing on. Right now, I am living my life to the fullness. Right now, I am redeeming. I am filling up the time, making the most of the opportunities so that God would be glorified. So, if you're in school, live in the present tense. If you're out of school, live in the present tense. If you've got kids, live in the present tense. If your kids are out of the house, live. Live. It's a beautiful life that the Lord has given us in the present tense. If you've retired, live in the present tense. It has reference to what we have on the earth. Be grateful for your daily bread. Just enjoy the daily bread that God has given you. Deal with today's troubles. When it comes to our spiritual life, embrace the day of salvation. That's today. Hear the voice of Jesus. That's today. Redeem the time. Today, live in the present tense. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to recognize that today is the day of salvation, if you will embrace it. Embrace it today so that the Lord will forgive you of all of your past and give you hope for the future and give you reason for today. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confession of His name, and be baptized to begin this life of living each day for the Lord. If you are a Christian and for some reason have squandered that gift of life that God has given you, and you want to come back to Him, we would encourage you to do so while we stand and sing.